RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Wednesday morning means our Legal Hub here at RCR. Joining us for our Legal Hub this week is Mary Nelson of Crawford Nelson Law, tax lawyer. We've talked to Mary a number of times already on our Legal Hub program. She's back with us this morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Okay, we're here to talk more about the IRD passing on names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses through hashing, which is a data kind of train, imagine it like that, to Meta. And the Taxpayers Union have come out. I think we've talked about this loosely in the early part of this some weeks ago before. But since, more has come to light. The Taxpayers Union are calling it one of the worst data breaches in the Western world. 268,000, it seems, affected. And people are starting to find out now if they inquire or revisiting the letters that have been received from IRD. So what are you thinking about this at this point of the knowledge that's out there now, Mary? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's an outrageous breach of taxpayer information. I would like to know how it happened, who was responsible. I've looked at the Commissioner of Inland Revenue has put a thing on Facebook, God, probably, put a thing on the IRD website, and it was a media release, and I actually went and had a look through that. So I was really not aware of this. I heard something very briefly a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't really turn my mind to it. But what I did is I actually listened to the interview with the Taxpayers Union yesterday with the gentleman that discovered the breach, who was a Mr. David Buckingham. Mm. And I listened to his talk. And what is extraordinary interesting is how he actually discovered it. So this gentleman used to work at Inland Revenue. So he says in this talk, so I'm not giving away anything about this man. And I think he's done a brilliant job. But he worked at IRD. But anyway, completely aside from all of this, he did notice on his Facebook that he, this audience customer list, an audience customer tab. And so he clicked onto the audience customer tab, and it gives a list of people who are targeting you. And this is just listening to his interview. And there are two ways. They will target you to advertise at you, or they'll target to not advertise you. And so he looked at who was targeting him, and he saw that IRD was targeting him.
Okay, curiouser and curiouser already.
Yes, and so along the way, he was in touch with Inland Revenue, and they said, don't worry, all your data is completely safe. And then this gentleman is obviously a technical guru, and he discovered, I don't know if he found out or if IRD told him, that discovered. So they talked about hashing, and so he discusses hashing. And so what hashing is, and excuse me, I could get this completely wrong, but it's something like, it's a mathematically, your email address will be converted into some sort of equation using maths and letters. And apparently your email address will always hash to the same set of digits and numbers.
Right, yeah.
And so when IRD is saying that they are sending hashed information to Facebook, then Facebook obviously can match your hashed email address with the one that they're holding, and they must hold an extraordinary amount of email data in their system.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what's happened. Then it turned out that actually that it wasn't hashed at all, and it sounds like IRD had been sending raw data to Facebook, which is Meta now, of course, to Google, to LinkedIn, to Trade Me, and IRD in its own information on the Inland Revenue website say that they have been sharing this. So anything I tell you is either from the interview that I listened to and purely looking at the IRD website.
Okay.
That's it. And so the Inland Revenue website will tell you that they have been supplying this data since 2013.
2013, just let that sink in. 2013.
Yeah. That's 11 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And how they do it is they're uploading this information, and it's 30 to 50 market lists are uploaded monthly that are campaign specific. So it could be for child support, a student loan. They could be targeting a specific audience, which could be the construction. It could be hospitality.
So they're using Facebook's algorithms to talk to those particular groups through users of that social media platform. Is that the aim?
Well, IRD say that the aim is actually to ensure that taxpayers are receiving and paying the right amount of tax.
Yeah, but are they advertising? Are they selecting groups to advertise or promote to, like the tradie sector or the hospo sector or the childcare? You know, people have got to pay their child care
Support. So what they would be doing is, I suppose you'll get an ad on your Facebook page that will say, you know, don't forget to pay your child support entitlements and contact us if you have any questions. And, you know, a person might have thought that that was just a random advertisement that pops up on their page. But in fact, it's a targeted advertisement aimed at them specifically that has been able to be targeted at them specifically because the information that has been supplied to not just Facebook, of course, to all these other entities includes your name, your date of birth, your address, your email address. And people might say things like, I've got nothing to hide. But when you're setting up a Facebook page, you're only going to provide your, name. You're not going to provide your home address. That's not a necessity. So there's one thing. But it's you would want to know why you were receiving IRD advertisements now. And the other thing is that what is there to say that Facebook hasn't monetized your data?
Well, that was going to be the next question to the universe, not necessarily to you, but
it's
not a one-way street here. So Facebook get data that they otherwise wouldn't be able to necessarily extract from potentially IRD.
They could never distract this from IRD.
So they couldn't extract it normally if you weren't prepared to give your address or things like that, but they can get that information this way.
Yes, they have received all this information. They've received all these people's information through a back channel.
They can use that for their own business.
Well, so then in this statement by Peter Mercer, going back to the gentleman that discovered this issue, he discovered it in May, and the Commissioner of Inland Revenue only shut down sending data lists to all these different platforms on the 4th of November. We're talking May, June, July, August, September, October. No, we're talking a six-month delay of sending this data.
You'd jump on that tomorrow, wouldn't you, normally?
Well, that's what you would expect. If you look at the Tax Administration Act, you would expect the highest level of security, which is, so I have been looking at the Tax Administration Act today, looking at this.
But if someone had to do it.
Thank you. You guys, you don't know what you're missing out on. But there's, if I go through his article, there's things. There's one thing he says in this thing. When concerns were raised over our use of custom audience list, we paused them on the 12th of September, and they've had a comprehensive internal review of their custom audience list has been carried out, and they've received independent advice from someone called Jeff Nightingale, who I Googled, and he is may have been or still is a partner at PwC.
Okay.
But
a big contractor to the government, let's not forget.
PwC is actually, when I worked at Inland Revenue, we often had courses put on by PwC. So that is in fact correct. And plus they do a lot of their opinions and reviews. But basically it's saying that, without going through the whole thing, it's basically saying that they are pretty sure that there's no evidence of customer details ever being used by social media platforms for anything other than the purpose intended.
Wait on, that's not a very straight answer. How would they even know?
Well, I would like to know how they know that. So
yeah, What is no evidence? We didn't see anything?
No evidence. Well, so in this article, he also talks about some sort of agreement. So And he talks about the Privacy Commissioner, but on some other article I read, like if you were going to develop a team, because this is obviously there has been a team at Inland Revenue doing this, and I don't think I'm guessing by saying that, because if we're talking to this amount of data lists being supplied to various platforms, there must have been a team set up to do it.
30 to 60 lists a month since 2013.
30 to 50, that's something I've heard or read in one of the sources that I have been going through.
Yeah, it takes a team to do that.
It would definitely take a team to do that. So in one of the articles I read, so they say 30 to 50 lists, that takes a team. So there has been a decision at Inland Revenue to set up a team to send this information to these platforms. And so there was three questions I would ask, which I have asked, and that's through an OAI request I did yesterday, is was the Privacy Commissioner informed? Because if you look at the Tax Administration Act, there are processes in place for sharing personal information, because you must remember, of course, that it's you are legally bound in New Zealand to give this information to Inland Revenue. You cannot not give this information. You can be prosecuted. They can do, there are various orders that they can make under the Tax Administration Act. And I've actually had a client prosecuted and went to prison for not supplying information.
Okay, so you got no choice. You got to give them the information that then they can send to any number of places.
Yeah. So that's the thing about this thing. So they have, so you would expect that the Privacy Commissioner should have been informed if they wanted to send big groups of data, or that they would talk to the Commissioner of Revenue.
Yeah, they want to clear it first and be bulletproof.
Or that you get or get Crown Law to review it. And
yeah,
it doesn't look like any of this stuff has happened. So it looks like it was an internal decision by Inland Revenue. So when I was looking at the Tax Administration Act, there is a section, it's 17, sorry, it was like, and I wondered, section 17G of the Tax Administration Act, the Commissioner may require information from large multinational groups. So what is this agreement? Purport that there's purported to be an agreement between Inland Revenue and all these various platforms.
Hmm.
What does it say?
Yeah.
And is it also in line with a information sharing, you know, setup? Is Facebook sharing this information? I've had recently a client who took out a student loan in 1993. Never completed the course, it was just a short thing, never completed it, moved to Australia and then moved to a remote village in Ireland. And 2 months ago, she got a letter from Inland Revenue to her home address saying that she owed $72,000.
Yeah, how did they get the address?
At her home address in Ireland.
Yeah, but how did they get it?
I don't know. No one knows. Yeah. But now I actually wonder if I know.
Yeah, that's why I asked. Because a remote address, you'd have to do a lot of research, wouldn't you, normally, to get to that information if it just wasn't available automatically from your information partner, one of those platforms.
And it was an older woman, and I know the target audience of these sorts of places, and you can imagine if they've got children living in different countries and, you know, they will have a Facebook and they'll be posting photos of their house and, you know, you're going to, the amount of, so I actually do not have social media because it makes me uncomfortable. But the other things, why, if they have the taxpayer's email address, why don't they email the taxpayer?
Yeah, why would it be like that? Yeah. Maybe they don't respond to the emails or something.
Maybe
or
they don't.
Is an email official or more official or less official than a letter, physical letter?
Well, I know that with an email, so there's ways that you can receive information that's legal. And once upon a time, it used to be the date you received it, I think, is a date that the post stamp was on the letter. And now, when you get an email, if you send it and it's a verified email address that has been provided to you, but you can also track. I track a lot of my emails. I will, to make sure that it's been received at least to the server. Mm. Whether or not they open it is another matter.
Yep.
So, yeah. The other thing is, when I did work at Inland Revenue, when another IRD officer, if they went into a file that they weren't allowed to, or if they disclosed information that they weren't allowed to disclose, which is things like name, date of birth, address, email address, they were fired on the spot. There was, yeah. The building manager, a security officer, and the team leader would go up to the person and say, get your bag, and they marched out of the building, and that was the end of it.
Okay.
So, and they can also be prosecuted. And in the Tax Administration Act, if these people didn't go through the right processes to share this information with Inland Revenue, which would appear they didn't, they can also be prosecuted. And they can be fined up to, it's not much of a thing, it's $15,000 and a 6 months in prison.
Still.
It would be pretty awful. But I also spoke to a privacy lawyer today and discussing, well, you know, if people thought, well, I want to take IRD to task about this, the thing is what is, like, how would you do it? Would you do it under tort? And then what are the damages? So how would you quantify or measure?
It's interesting. You mentioned the head of IRD, Peter Mercy, I think is his name is, and in the Taxpayers Union piece, he said, I think it was a quote, that this breach didn't come up to the level of, you know, privacy laws. He said that. Yes. I don't know how you get to that, given this, all the information's in there.
That's right. And actually, this is in the statement. Okay. So these unintended disclosures occurred at Inland Revenue end. And well, so they talk about two unintended disclosures of raw data of two people. And so these unintended disclosures occurred at the IRD end. And while both have been reported at the Office of the Privacy Commissioner, neither were categorised as notifiable. This means we're not required to report them publicly or notify the customers involved.
Tell me if I got this wrong. 268,000 involved, but only two were an issue.
Well, obviously it's more than two because I've heard from quite a few people and all of them are getting the same letter that are saying we have shared this information. Oops.
And what does unintended mean? Sorry to jump in, but what does unintended mean when you've been doing it at 30 to 50 or 60 lists a month since 2013 and you need a team probably to do it?
Yeah.
How could that be unintended?
It's very purposeful. I can see, having worked there, I can see exactly how this has happened.
Oh, do tell me.
Well,
in a general helicopter, revealing anything, but, you know.
In a general helicopter way, these people are not really associated with the outside world. It's very internal. And the revenue grants you a lot of powers. And you can look at the Tax Administration Act while you're working there and perhaps swing it how you want to, and or you think that you're bulletproof and that you're doing God's work. But I can see some personality types there that would just believe it was a given that they had the right to do this and they weren't doing anything wrong and, you know, they just wouldn't see anything wrong with it.
David Henderson, who was on this program a few days ago, because he had his run-in.
I listened, actually. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what he said. He thought it was more likely that there was kind of a rogue bunch, let's say, sort of like you're describing, saving the world. There are no schools and there are no hospitals if we don't, you know, push it all the way. But would you do that and not have the upper to the top management unaware of? Because you could really embarrass them. You could... You know, whatever happened to no surprises, you know?
Yeah, what has happened? I don't know, but it was very funny when I did hear him. First of all, the thing about the backhanders. Well, I don't know if there would be backhanders because you would absolutely lie to knowing that you were breached. We had these little training seminars on a Monday, and one of the questions was, you're in Wellington for a trip. you have a taxi voucher, and you have a drink with a friend at the hotel where you're at the event, and then you catch a taxi back to your hotel. Your friend's hotel is on the way. Can they get the cab with you? And the answer was no.
Right.
And can you eat a muffin at a morning tea that's been put? No, the answer is no.
But wait on, that's more greenhouse gases emitted to get the other person home. That's not right.
Yeah. So I know, it's a terrible thing. But one of the things I do think there are other ways that this works, because I've had a case that was a mix of proceeds and crime and land revenue. And the police went to IRD when they discovered this issue, and they absolutely schmoozed these people, and I think that they made them feel bigger than they actually were. And so it became this gigantic case, which ended up just not to be what the police had told IRD it was in the first place. And so I can imagine that you would have an organisation like Facebook coming to IRD and maybe doing a presentation.
That's what David said. Wined and dined, I think, was the term he used.
So that wouldn't surprise me. You know, that sort of behaviour, come to our headquarters in Silicon Valley because we're going to show you, you know, how we operate. The other thing, actually, is that one time I was on, we talked about the IRD new amazing database. Well, it's an American product. It's based in the US, and it is actually the same product that is used by several other tax agencies around the world. So it's actually not even an internet.
Was that the billion that we spent?
Yeah, a lot, many millions. I've forgotten how much it was, but it was tons.
Yeah.
The other thing, if they've obtained information through illegal sources, can they use it?
Very good point. Yeah. Like finding the address of the woman in the deserted or isolated village in Ireland.
Mm. And then chasing you.
Yeah.
Because Facebook is the biggest data broker in the world.
I'm aware of that.
And that's, I'm just seeing if that. There was another thing they talked about is de-identification. It's the process of removing or hiding personal information. But the question is, how is it hidden if you're targeting someone? That's an oxymoron.
You need to know at least one or two things about them, don't you, to accurately target. Yeah. Otherwise, good luck.
Yes, there was another point. The commissioner talked about the New Zealand Information Security Manual. However, it doesn't mandate hashing. And in fact, I looked at it today and it doesn't even talk about hashing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, they've said, I think, that they will cease sharing taxpayer data with social media platforms. That's a big tell. Ending something that's been going since 2013. Instantaneously?
Something I copied. I've got a little page that I made. Between 2014 and 12th of September 2024, we use customer audience lists.
Oh, okay.
This is in one of their articles.
Still.
12th of September, now we don't. So I believe that there needs to be an inquiry. You can't underestimate how bad this is, and people will. And I think people, when they get a letter, they're not going to be interested in discussing it with IRD because you don't want to be in a conversation with IRD.
And they know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, eh?
I want people to take a class action. Everyone get millions of dollars and see what can be done to. Yeah. There is, of course, and actually the other thing, David, when David Henderson said that whole stuff about, you know, we use this money is used for it, they actually, IRD still put that in. Every time I've had a PAYE prosecution, they use the same template, and that phrase is still in all the documents. And often the judge, when he's handing down a sentence, will say this money is used for hospitals and schools and.
Have they put cycleways on that list yet?
They
do. Road cones.
Cyclists, road cones, speed bumps, I don't know, people hair dye.
$500,000 bike racks.
Yes, slides at Parliament.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, top dollar, right?
Well, it was a nice slide. I must go and have a tune on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just saying, so I want to know what meetings were between Facebook and LinkedIn, what discussions were held with Facebook, did Facebook pay for the data, did IRD sell the data, is there any trade-off between Facebook, did Facebook help IRD find taxpayers? Is there
an incentive for that?
Yes, and what happens if an employee is caught mishandling information, which employees have mishandled information?
What about a whole department, though?
A whole department. Yeah. Oh, okay. So IRD, so there was IRD, they talk about a terms of agreement between IRD and these platforms. So I've asked for that.
Okay. Because here's another thing. They're not New Zealand companies. This is sovereign data.
Yes, I see it. So we can't now go to, because IRD, we can't now go to Facebook, which is a foreign jurisdiction, and say, what have you done with, have you used my data for? It's like, they would never tell you, because they would get 256,000. Makes me wonder if they have this set up with other taxing authorities, to be honest.
Well, I was just thinking that too.
Yeah.
How interchangeable at that level is this sort of data, are these sort of agreements? And if you're the US government, you've got all those major corporations pretty well, not all of them probably, but most of them are US corporations. So that's another route for it to leak out.
Absolutely. And in fact, if you're a US citizen, then you pay tax on, because you're a citizen. Like we pay tax. We like if you're a tax resident in the country that you're working in, which is for me New Zealand, but I could move to Australia and be tax resident there. And then because New Zealand is tax on residency, but the US tax is on citizenship. And so they would definitely want to, because no matter where you live in the world, if you're a US citizen, you need to file various types of returns every year. So it would be a great tool for every taxing authority. Excellent.
All right. Well, well, it's so interesting, but it's so kind of dark as well, potentially. Anything more to say about this, Mary, before we're done? Because we're coming up on time.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know when I get the OAI request back.
Please.
And see what they have to say about it, if they're investigated. But honestly, there needs to be an inquiry. That's what needs to happen. How did this happen? How can we make sure it doesn't happen again? How can we protect your data? And what can we do to make sure that the data that we've leaked, we can protect you in some way?
Hmm. And there's no capacity, as David pointed out, in the Ombudsman's office or the Privacy Commissioner's office to look at anything at scale, really, at all?
No, absolutely not. And also, would they have an... I mean, I don't think that... like, well, actually, you know, big ups to RNZ, actually, where I also got all the links to the IRD stuff in the end, but... you know, they did report it, and they've reported it several times, but I haven't heard it on News Talk TV, for instance.
They're trying to redeem themselves, Mary. That's what they're trying to do. Oh, good on them. All right, well, thanks for coming on for this Legal Hub. Fascinating. Thank you, Mary. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Cheers. Thanks so much, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.